This lesson is going to deal with the realities that our life is to be that which we forfeit now so that we can have eternal life later. And Paul in Romans chapter 12, and verse 1 in our scripture reading says to present our bodies as a living sacrifice. So I want to begin with a number of passages, and so take out your Bibles. Let's spend a few minutes here, mainly in the book of Leviticus. So turn back, if you would, to the book of Leviticus, which has a lot to say about the priesthood, being holy, the very sacrifices that were to be offered, as we're going to see. And there are a number of different sacrifices that are laid out before the children of Israel. And you can see what I'm going to emphasize by what you're seeing on the right-hand side. And I hope that as we go through a few of these passages, that the redundancy that you will see in these sacrifices will then help us understand who we are to be in character as a living sacrifice. So you remember this morning we talked about being fully trained and that we would desire to be like Jesus, we would be determined to be like Jesus, we would be dedicated to be like Jesus, and we would in fact be disciplined to be like Jesus. Well, that means our life should manifest itself in such a way that it is known that we are, in fact, following Jesus. And that's what we want. We want people to see our good works and glorify our Father which is in heaven, which is what Jesus taught there in the Sermon on the Mount. In Leviticus chapter 1, and we'll kind of go through these quick. It's the lesson's not intended to spend any time in these, but again, for you to just see how often this comes up in the book of Leviticus when it's talking about the sacrifice, the animal sacrifice that was supposed to be offered. Verse 1, now the Lord called to Moses and spoke to him from the tabernacle of meeting, saying, speak to the children of Israel and say to them, when any one of you brings an offering to the Lord, you shall bring your offering of the livestock, of the herd, of the flock. If his offering is a burnt sacrifice of the herd, let him offer a male without blemish. He shall offer it of his own free will at the door of the tabernacle of meeting before the Lord. It shall be without blemish. Just keep that in mind because we'll be talking more about that. In chapter 3 and in verse 1, talking about the peace offering that would be offered. When he is offering as a sacrifice of a peace offering, if he offers it of the herd, whether male or female, he shall offer it without blemish before the Lord. So again, you see that this peace offering is supposed to be an animal that is without blemish. If you look at chapter 4 in the first three verses, we're talking about a sin offering. Specifically, as you go through the chapter in chapter 4, there's a few different scenarios. But the main thrust here seems to be that you sin and you don't know it, unintentional. But when it becomes known, in fact, as I was trying to get a grip on a lot of these different offerings, one thing that struck me was, now think about this, and I'm not saying that I may have missed something, but just the overall thing that I saw was, it's one thing to sin unintentionally and what you do about it when you find out that you're guilty. But a lot of the passages that if you did it intentionally, it just says you're supposed to be cut off. You're just supposed to be cut off. And I thought, wow, you know, I did this intentionally and you're just supposed to be cut off. So it shows the seriousness of what we're talking about. So here I've sinned and I have done so unintentionally. So it says, and the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the children of Israel, saying, if a person sins unintentionally against any of the commandments of the Lord, and anything which ought not to be done and does any of them, if the anointed priest sins, bringing guilt on the people, let him offer to the Lord for his sin, which he has sinned, specifically a young bull without blemish as a sin offering. So bring this young male calf, this young male bull, and that's what I want you to offer. But I want you to offer one that has no blemish. Look a little further down to verse 22 in the same chapter. When a ruler has sinned and done something unintentionally against any of the commandments of the Lord, his God, in anything which should not be done and is guilty, or if his sin which he committed comes to his knowledge, he shall bring as an offering a kid of the goats, a male, without blemish. So again, a specific animal, specific gender, it's supposed to be without blemish. Chapter 5, verse 14 and 15. The Lord spoke to Moses, saying, if a person commits a trespass, we're talking about a trespass offering. So you commit a trespass and sins unintentionally in regard to the holy thing, things of the Lord, then he shall bring to the Lord as his trespass offering a ram without blemish from the flocks, with your evaluation in shekels of silver, according to the shekel of the sanctuary, as a trespass offering. So again, a trespass offering offered without blemish. And there was also a value set with regards to that. And sometimes when it talks about something is done, there's restitution that's supposed to be made. But what this, so here's a trespass offering for lying. Look at chapter 6. And let's read a few verses here, verses 1 through 7. The Lord spoke to Moses, saying, if a person sins and commits a trespass against the Lord by lying to his neighbor. So now I've told a lie. About what was delivered to him for safekeeping, or about a pledge, or about a robbery, or if he has extorted from his neighbor. Now, you can relate to this. I remember when thinking about car bangs and booms, Bailey got hit out there on her way to work at Stefano's or David Christopher's, one of the two. And the person, when it was all said and done, said, the insurance says, well, he said he didn't do it. And the only person then that had stopped to say, are you okay, honey, and it wasn't your fault, didn't stick around. So now it was like the police didn't know what to say, so they didn't make any kind of determination. So there we were with he said, she said, and so it was kind of like our guy said he didn't do it. Well, he did, and so he lied. Well, if you lie, or if he has found what was lost and lies concerning it or swears falsely, in any one of these things that a man may do in which he sins, then it shall be because he has sinned and is guilty that he shall restore what he has stolen or the thing which he has extorted or what was delivered to him for safekeeping or the lost thing which is found or that all that about which he has sworn falsely, he shall restore it in full value, add one-fifth more to it, and give it to whoever it belongs on the day of the trespass offering. And he shall bring his trespass offering to the Lord, a ram without blemish from the flock, with your evaluation as a trespass offering to the priest. And the priest shall make atonement for him before the Lord. And he shall be forgiven for any of these things that he may have done in which he trespasses. Again, there's a cost involved with the sin in this offering. And again, it's going to be an animal that has no blemish. On the Day of Atonement, there were various sacrifices that were made. And the sin offering, and it's to be without blemish. In the Passover, flip now back to Exodus chapter 12, and notice when we're talking about the Passover feast, and notice the requirement there in Exodus chapter 12, and again, the first five verses. The Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, this month shall be your beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. Speak to all the congregation of Israel, saying, on the 10th of the month, every man shall take for himself a lamb, according to the house of his father, a lamb for a household. And if his household is too small for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next to his house take it according to the number of the persons, according to each man's need, you shall make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. You may take it from the sheep or from the goats. So here we have this, either a male goat or a female, and it is to be of the first year, and it is supposed to be without blemish. In Leviticus, we'll go back to Leviticus real quick. Go to Leviticus chapter 9. And this is, in this particular account, this is where Aaron is told, here's what you have to do before the glory of the Lord is going to appear to all the people, in verse 23. Now, we studied Ezekiel, and it is a big, important thing to understand what it means that the glory, the presence of God, is going to come into your area and how big of a deal that is. And in all of its, you know, remember the wheels that turned and the eyes and the throne and this idea of describing somehow the glory of God. Now look at chapter 9, verse 1. It came to pass on the eighth day that Moses called Aaron and his sons and the elders of Israel, and he said to Aaron, take for yourself a young bull as a sin offering and a ram as a burnt offering without blemish, and offer them before the Lord. Verse 23, Moses and Aaron went into the tabernacle of meeting and came out and blessed the people. Then the glory of the Lord appeared to all the people. And there's a lot between here and there, but all that was done was just so God would come and his presence would be known as he came down upon the tabernacle. A sacrifice had to be made, and it had to be made without blemish. Well, what was considered unblemished? So we can turn to Leviticus chapter 22, where we're told what does it mean to have an animal that has no blemish. And so we look at Leviticus chapter 22, and we begin reading in verse 17. God tells Moses, speak to Aaron, saying, no man of your descendants in succeeding generations who has any defect may approach to offer the bread of his God. So any of Aaron's descendants, if they had any kind of defect, maybe their arms withered, maybe they have, you know, whatever we can think of that we even call them birth defects, or we used to call them that. I don't know what the politically correct term is. That's probably not politically correct to even say that, but we know what it's talking about. It says they can't come before God. And then you look at verse 18, for any man who has a defect shall not approach a man blind or lame, who has marred face or a limb too long, a man who has broken foot or broken hand, or is a hunchback or a dwarf, or a man who has a defect in his eye, or eczema or scab, or a eunuch. No man of the descendants of Aaron, the priest, who has a defect shall come near to offer the offering made by fire to the Lord. He has a defect. He shall not come near to offer the bread of his God. He may eat the bread of his God, both the most holy and the holy, only he shall not go near the veil or approach the altar, because he has a defect, lest he profane my sanctuary, for I, the Lord, am sanctified. So here we have the person. Now in chapter 22, I didn't get that one down. Chapter 22, now verse 17. The Lord said to Moses, speak to Aaron and his sons, all the children of Israel, and say to them, whatever man of the house of Israel or of the strangers in Israel who offers his sacrifice for any of his vows, or who offers his sacrifice for any of his vows, or any freewill offering which they offer to the Lord as a burnt offering, you shall offer of your own free will a male without blemish from the cattle and from the sheep and from the goats. Whatever has a defect. So think about all the passages we looked at, and without blemish in these animals. You shall offer of your own free will. Whatever has a defect, verse 20, you shall not offer, for it shall not be accepted on your behalf. For whoever offers a sacrifice of a peace offering to the Lord to fulfill his vow, or to fulfill a free will offering for the cattle or the sheep, it must be perfect to be accepted. You might highlight that, to be perfect. It must be perfect to be accepted. And we're going to come back and talk about that. So you're supposed to bring this perfect animal to be accepted. There shall be no defect in it. Those that are blind or broken or maimed or have an ulcer or eczema or scabs, or you shall not offer to the Lord, nor make any offering by fire of them on the altar to the Lord. Either a bull or a lamb that has any limb too long or too short, you may offer as a freewill offering, but for a vow it shall not be accepted. You shall not offer to the Lord what is bruised or crushed or torn or cut, nor shall you make any offering of them in your land, nor from a foreigner's hand shall you offer any of these as the bread of your God, because their corruption is in them and defects are in them. They shall not be accepted on your behalf. They will not be accepted. So you start realizing, okay, this animal's got to be, when it says, I want you to offer one without blemish, and it's not going to be accepted if it's not perfect, I want you to think about what he's saying. Well, I asked Lonnie Oldag. I ran into Lonnie Oldag, and Lonnie deals with sheep and goat, just like, I may ask Mitchell this, but Lonnie actually has, Mitchell's is coming and going very quick, but Lonnie, who works with him, actually has them for a period of time, maybe fattens them up. Well, I said to him, I said, Lonnie, I'm gonna ask you a question because this is the thing I've been rolling around in my head for this lesson. I asked him, have you ever seen one of the sheep or goats that you looked at from this vantage point and thought, wow, that goat's a perfect goat, or that's a beautiful lamb? You're talking about, you know, a lot, as you saw over the first year, some of these very, very young. And here's what he said. He told me the day before, he said, I think I worked with maybe 60, and I don't remember if it was sheep and goat or both sheep and goats. But he said, I remember thinking, out of those 60, there was two that I thought, wow, those are, and he used the word perfect because that's where we're talking about. You know, today we probably say, wow, that's a really cute or beautiful lamb. Because I was like, well, how often do these perfect lambs come along? And so what that led to was we were talking about, and where my mind was going and where his was going is, all right, I want you to think about, you've got to make this offering. You've sinned, or maybe it's a trespass offering. Maybe it's a peace offering. And you go to your flock, and out of all of them are there, you take the very best one. And that very best one is the one that you're going to offer, because that's what God requires. Now, from a person who this is their livelihood, do you really want to take the very best animal you have, and that's the one that you give? I mean, there's value. And to illustrate that, I got to thinking about how breeders work. And you could go, I didn't choose to do dogs, but I chose to think about horses. And so in looking at this, here's something I found. And you'll find this interesting, because what is a breeder trying to do? A breeder is trying to find the very best male and the very best female, and they want to have that. Those two give birth to you want to try to get as close to perfection. Whether you're talking about dogs and the person says, this puppy is $600, and you're like, $600? And they're like, oh, it's a purebred. Meaning, we got papers. And then if they're really good, they're going to go, oh, but his mother is this. And you're like, whoopee-doo. But in the dog world, they're like, this is a grand champion. This is a mother that's, you know, has been judged and won the dog show after the, what is it, after the Thanksgiving parade that we have, the dog show, is that right? Or the whichever one. Christmas parade, New Year's, whichever it is, you know what I'm talking about, the dog show. And which one the best dog? Well, I was looking at horses. This horse, and you've probably heard of this horse, I believe I have, it's Dubois. It was born in 2002. Now, this is a big deal, because here's the father, and he was a racehorse. Very, very successful racehorse. Here's the mare, the mother, top race, top class racehorse. And he sired this mare. And anybody want to guess what it cost to breed with this horse? Because of, look at the pedigree this horse has. £350,000 British. Whew. And you're like, I didn't know what that meant. I knew it was going to be a lot. You know what that converts to in American dollars? Almost $500,000. To have your horse bred with that horse. Do you think people take this serious? Because there's a lot of money in this. And this is your best in the what do you call a horse, a bunch of horses, Steve? You don't call it a flock? Do you call it a herd? Do you call horses a herd? I knew you called cattle herd. So you got this, you know, your farm full, and you got a, and this one's born, and you have to bring a sacrifice. And we're talking about a horse, but think about your bull or your goat. So you're with me in where we're going. It is a real sacrifice to bring your very best animal for a sacrifice. Because what that animal would do is it would make your flock stronger. It would make it closer to perfection as you bred this beautiful animal. And I remember Rick Landing, and I've used him before, but I remember he held a gospel meeting when I was first began preaching in Wisconsin. And I remember him talking about this. He says, can you imagine that you've brought this out of your flock? You've brought this beautiful lamb because you've sinned, and it's been killed, and all of that. And the point he was making is, how likely are you going to be that you go and do that again? Because there's been a tremendous cost for you to do that. And yet today we just go, oh, I just sinned again. It's just my flaw. It's just my weakness. And I'm just easily snared by this. And we make excuse when there was a real cost. And if you see that value, so you sin unintentionally and later you find out you're guilty and you have to bring this animal without blemish. And it is what was required. And even in what we looked at, you remember it said, if a ruler does or a priest does, well, the priest, he had to bring a young bull. If it was a ruler, he had to bring a young male goat. And it had it right down to, you know, depending on what you could and couldn't afford, it was going to cost you. Whether it was two turtle doves, but there was going to be sacrifice. And Jehovah God required the very best. Because if it was not, it was not accepted. So my mind goes to when he says, you're offering, you're blind, you're maimed. And he says, you remember in Malachi when he's asking those questions, when do we do that? And he says, offer it to your governor. Would he accept your junk? You remember? Would God accept that? Well, what we've studied so far, absolutely not. We're talking about holy and awesome is his name. We're talking about Jehovah God. And so that's why when we have these examples of Abel, Genesis 4 and verse 4. Now, when you go back and look at what happened between Abel and Cain and God accepting Abel's offering but rejecting Cain's, it says all Abel also brought of the firstborn of his flock and of their fat. And the Lord respected Abel and his offering. Cain, it just says he brought an offering of the ground. Abel brought an excellent sacrifice. How do I know that? Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 4. And that's one of those easy to remember. Genesis 4:4, Hebrews 11:4. In this section of the faith of Abel. He offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained witness that he was righteous. His excellent sacrifice, God bore witness that he was a righteous person. But notice it says also, though he being dead, he still speaks. We're talking about him now. We think of Abel and we think, well, he offered an excellent sacrifice, a more excellent sacrifice. He brought a very good sacrifice, the first. And that was one of the things that Lonnie and I were talking about. I said, Lonnie, you know, the scriptures required that you bring the first of the first fruits. Like, so your harvest comes in. God says, that's mine. Well, if you're a farmer, you don't know if something else is going to come. What if something happens and you lose your crop? What is God trying to get them to understand? You bring me your first. I'll take care of you. Don't give me your second. Don't give me your junk. You understand that holy and awesome is my name. It's Jehovah God. And we serve the same God. Now, we no longer offer these required sacrifices, do we? And I don't know how often you actually think about and appreciate that, that we're not out here having to raise livestock and kill livestock and bring things for our sins. And you know why that is, because we need to be so thankful for Jesus. Because look at some of the wording in 1 Peter chapter 1 and in verse 17. You're probably pretty close if you went with me to Hebrews. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 17 through 19. And if you call on the Father who without partiality judges according to each one's work, conduct yourselves throughout the time of your stay here in fear, knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold or your aimless conduct received by traditions of your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as a lamb. No accident that it says without blemish and without spot. This was a perfect lamb. Jesus was perfection. Look also, if you would, flip back to Hebrews chapter 9 and in verse 12 to 14. Hebrews 9, 12 to 14. I'll back up in verse 11. But Christ came as high priest of the good things to come with the greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is, not of this creation, not with the blood of goats and calves. He didn't come with those, but he came with his own blood. He entered into the most holy place once for all, having obtained eternal redemption. For if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of a heifer sprinkling the unclean and sanctifies for the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? And for this reason, he is the mediator of the new covenant by means of death for the redemption of the transgressions under the first covenant, that those who are called may receive the promise of eternal inheritance. So here's there's your introduction and you're thinking, uh-oh. No. So here's our points that we want to make. Romans 12 and verse 1, present your bodies, you, me, all of us, as a living sacrifice. Jesus said that if you find your life, he says to find your life, you must lose it in Matthew 16 and verse 25. If you're actually going to find your life, you're going to have to lose it or forfeit it. That's a sacrifice. What's he saying? Well, you forfeit now for the reward in return later. Now you present your whole life as a sacrifice. And we talked this morning towards the end of the lesson, there verse 2, be not conformed to this world. I showed you the molding, but he says, but be transformed. You have to renew the way you think. Renew your mind that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So we are to present our bodies a living sacrifice. In 1 Peter chapter 2, the first five verses, Peter said, therefore, laying aside all malice and all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and all evil speaking, as newborn babes desire the pure milk of the word that you may grow thereby. If indeed you have tasted that the Lord is gracious, coming to him as to a living stone, rejected indeed by men, but chosen by God and precious. You also, as a living stone, and being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up what? Spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. We don't offer up animal sacrifices. We offer up spiritual sacrifices. When we sing, it's the fruit of our lips. When we give, it comes from the heart. The things that we do come from our life and that which we sacrifice and give up, and we offer these spiritual sacrifices. And we are to be without blemish. So go back to all those animals. And that's the same language that's used in these verses. With all of these powerful thoughts that we've been talking about, especially the idea of a sacrifice being without blemish. Remember, it's got to be without blemish or it's not going to be accepted. And if it has, it will be rejected. And so that's the kind of language that is used to describe you and I as Christians. and think about, so I present my body as a living sacrifice. What does that mean? Well, that means I need to be without blemish. So look at Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4. Ephesians chapter 1 and in verse 4. Just as he chose us in him, that would be in Christ, before the foundation of the world, Craig made this point around the table. This was all planned before the world even began. That we should be what, or who, I should say, not what, but who, holy and without blame before him in love. So how are you supposed to conduct yourself to be holy and without blame? Look at Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter 2. And I appreciate you turning along. I said there was quite a few passages tonight. Titus 2 verse 11, for the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in the present age. In 2025, the present age, this is how you are to live. Looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 7. You see, just like we went through all these animal sacrifices, look how the New Testament is, it has that same idea, only it's talking about you and I and our character. 1 Thessalonians 4 and verse 7. For God did not call us to uncleanness, but in holiness. And now tie that with our thoughts this morning. Perfectly trained to be like Jesus. And he was the perfect lamb without spot, offered his precious blood. You are to offer your life every day as a living sacrifice, and it should be to the best of your ability. Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. And verse 14, do all things without complaining and disputing. Oh, I hate that one. That you may become blameless and harmless children of God without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding fast the word of life so that I may rejoice in the day of Christ that I have not run in vain or labored in vain. Now, all the thoughts that we've had, you see how that's just saturated with that the thoughts that we've been talking about. And the reason I emphasize, do all things without complaining and disputing. And I say, I don't like that. Well, there it is. So if I'm going to live holy, that should be my understanding, my character. I need to work on that. I need to do those things that would be pleasing to God. 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter 3. Verse 13 and 14. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for a new heaven and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. Therefore, beloved, looking forward to these things, be diligent to be found by him in peace. How? Without spot and blemish. Ephesians 5 and verse 27. Christ is going to present us as holy, without blame. In Colossians 1, verse 21 through 23, the same. So we are to present our bodies before the Lord as a sacrifice that is without blemish. Now, again, I said this morning, we throw that big monkey wrench in there and say, well, none of us are perfect. Well, God never puts the bar low. He sets it high and says, here's what you're striving for. And he expects us to be determined, dedicated to accomplish this because this is what God accepts. And when Jesus Christ, and it's going to take him to do this, we understand that he's going to be the one that just says, okay, I'm going to present them to you and they're going to be without blemish. But if I haven't given any kind of effort, he's not going to just do that, is he? So we need to live in such a way so as to be like our Master, Jesus the Christ. Become fully trained as a living sacrifice. Well, you might be here this afternoon and you need to obey the gospel of Jesus Christ. If you haven't done that, we want to encourage you to do so. If you are a Christian and there's something amiss in your life, we would ask you to turn from that, confess it. If it's something of a private nature, ask God to forgive you. If it's public, let it be known. As together we stand and sing.